look, stop. Stop everything. Stop the party. Stop the party. Welcome back to another episode of the 85 South. Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man. It goes without saying. You can look around the room. We got a whole different setup, bro. Bro, I don't even want to get no introduction because I really feel like I'm in the dungeon family today.
We in the dungeon.
Somebody needs to introduce us as the dungeon family. Nah, man, we got some real A-Town legends
in the building tonight, and when I say A-Town legends, I don't mean they just live in Atlanta, bro. These are some of our musical heroes that gave us that soulful moment when people stopped dancing. Man, the exact moment when people stopped dancing, we still standing. Yes sir, one of my favorite groups of all time. We still standing, man.
The streets been asking for this one right here. Cut the intro. Cut the intro. Cut the motherfucking intro, J-O-N. Now, we the hat. Now, Gip came through a couple times and gave us the 411. I seen it. That the mob come. I was like, we ain't Gip. He was like, just trust me, man. I'm bringing the whole everybody.
I ain't believe him.
Yeah, he did.
Then he came back. He was like, I'm telling you, we coming. I was like, man, whenever. Now we got y'all here in the trap. Got the motherfucking mob.
It's the first mob. And that's what we use our platform for, man, is to show love to people that we love while they can still hear.
Yeah, yeah. You feel me? Yeah, yeah. While they can listen.
Man, for real. Like, I know Carlos, like, I'm a big CeeLo Green fan, but like the rap, the you as an MC, I wasn't hip to like that. Los put me on a how raw you were as an MC. Like, all y'all together, I know all the songs, but like, I wasn't as in tune with, you know, the fact that you really got down like that. Like, my shit is the eccentric CeeLo Green. Yes, like, I know all that shit. Yes, everybody that's grown got skeleton bone, they got hit in the way. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all was thinking that's all that something choose not to say. That's my shit. Yeah. Pull over with your girl, fuck something in the back of the car.
I'm a freak.
I'm so excited. So, like, being as though y'all came up together, my first question is, like, how did y'all get to know what each person's style was to make it fit? Because this is an amazing conglomerate of talent. So how did y'all make that work?
With all due respect, I gotta direct that question to these two gentlemen right here, because they are the founders of Goody Mob. It begins with these two gentlemen right here, Cujo Goody, OG T-Mo Goody.
That's it.
Give them a brief synopsis of how this thing started, sir. Please.
Well, you asked about like how we came up with like the styles.
Yeah, how y'all right, make right. it all work, cause you know what I mean.
Man, I mean, really, man, I just think that, man, all of us wanted to, you know what I'm saying, put Atlanta on the map, man, at the time, because, you know what I'm saying, we was influenced by niggas in New York, you know what I'm saying, the West Coast, you know what I'm talking about, Texas. All them type of folk, man. We was influenced by Cypress Hill, all them type of people. So then the type of people that we listened to, man, you know what I'm saying, coming up in hip hop. So I can remember me and T-Mo listening to Naughty by Nature all the time, listening to Cypress Hill, listening to goddamn Cube, and just getting our skills together, man, just homing everything together, man. Then we fucked around and made the first Goody Mob song called It's a Goody Mob Thing You Wouldn't Understand. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? And that never did come out, and that was produced by my partner, Ed X. Right, Ken Folk. So that was our first Goody Mob song. So, you know what I'm saying? We was fucking around, got there, had some songs together, man, and we were looking for some more tracks. So we pulled up at the dungeon, you know what I'm talking about? Fucking with goddamn Rico Wade and goddamn Ray Murray, goddamn Sleepy Brown, start getting some more tracks. So we started goddamn homing our skills even more. coming to the dungeon, because then nigga just felt like, man, this is what we gonna do. Nigga ain't finna get no job, you know what I'm saying? Nigga ain't finna play football, so shit, man, let's go and see what's going down, man. Then we fucked around and got on that Southern Player listed, Cadillac Music, man, with Outkast now. So me and T-Mo was on Call of the Wild, Gip and CeeLo was on Get Up, Get Out and Get Some, but shit, we was still, we been grinding in the trenches, so we was just waiting on our time to step up, you know what I'm talking about? Waiting on our time to get our uniform out the locker and get that shit dirty.
Okay.
That's kind of like what it was, you feel what I'm saying? So we was influenced by everybody, man, the whole hip-hop, man. It was just time for Atlanta to stand up, man. It just so happened the ball jumped in our court, bro. Right.
Get Up and Get Out was the first CD I ever had.
Whoa.
First CD I ever had. I got the CD player for Christmas. We stopped right here at the West End Mall. And I ran up in there, and that was the first CD I got. You know, this one, the single, was about $8.
Right, right.
Because it had the original, the clean version, the instrumental. Mm-hmm. Then it had an acapella on that. The motherfucker had six tracks.
Yeah. I remember when we was young at the West End Mall, they had the Sunshine Department Store. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
The Sunshine Department Store had Sears, the big Sears and Roebuck over there.
Oh, yeah. Now, I was just going to say, man, the way we make it work is that, you know, we all just got a real mutual respect for each other. You know what I mean? Allow each other artistic creativity, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just as men and as our creators and as artists, you know what I mean? And we really true to that. Mm-hmm. We that first, you know what I mean? And I know sometimes we too much of that. So that's why we got a balance with having good managers in place, you know what I'm saying? We're having good producers in place like Organized Noise and other people that we work with, you know what I mean? So the way that's, it's just really like a natural type thing with us. It's natural. It's organic.
So even though y'all was the OGs, what made y'all embrace the young ones and be like, you know what, let's turn this into a group situation?
Well, really, that to be honest with you, man, I don't like the makeup stuff because it's hard to remember the lie. But the truth is, Ian Burke, you know what I mean? We were all featured on Outkast's first record, Southern Player Listed. Everybody was just hot and ready to go. You know, we ready to put our music out. You know, me and Cujo had already recorded 18 songs then. You know, and Gip and CeeLo were working, doing, you know, Gip was with East Point Chain Gang, were ready to do some solo. CeeLo was DJ Wynn, you know, and DJ Wynn and with Tyrus McClure, so he was grinding, doing stuff. He was ready to bust, you know what I mean? So to make it really work, Ian Burke came to us and was like, you know what? Why don't y'all just all come up under the Goody Mob umbrella, get in the door with that, and then you can kind of break off into whatever entities that y'all got going as far as the Lumberjacks, me and Cujo Goody, CeeLo Green is a solo artist, Gip is a solo artist. So it was already pre-planned in the beginning, you know what I mean? We already had the idea that everybody wanted to do their own thing one day, but we were going to come in and sign the deal and get the deal and get the relationship built off Goody Mob. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What it feel like moving back as the Mob again in 2021? Just, is it just like picking up where you left off and just finding that stride?
I think it was just more of a concentration this time because we felt like we was in a pandemic. It was the first time all of us been home in a long time. First time all of us been able to get in the studio with Organized Noise. And I think we took our conversation that was on the phone and just started putting in the music. Once we did that, I think that it was just like riding a bike. Because at the end of the day, during the pandemic, cell therapy all of a sudden just started growing as a song. Because it was like people started going back and looking at the actual lyrics and studying the song and saying, man, y'all brought this information 20 years ago, and it's now we actually living in the pandemic. So with that being said, it was like after that, it was like, let's finish these songs, put them out, and see where we're going to go with this. But this time, we had an actual target.
Mm-hmm.
The pandemic, the way we was living. I mean, what was going to be the new world? This is the new world we're living in. So with that being said, it gave us an actual plane to work with where actually we probably didn't have a target before then.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I think that right now, with the world being that we was all locked in our house, I think this was the only time that I think it was supposed to happen like this. This was when Goody Mob was supposed to come back. Because it was like, it was a need for Goody Mob.
Mm.
But it just came out to it, too. So we was still goddamn lit.
Y'all still was going out together.
We was still ready, man. I mean, shit, bro. I mean.
Yeah, we had the third leg of that tour that was defaulted because of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Man, we had just got invited to the NASCAR event with Bubba Stewart, was coming with Richard Petty. And mm-hmm. they invited us to come down to the pit, man, and everything. And that particular event was the beginning of the pandemic. They canceled that, and that was it for NASCAR.
Man, that lets you know how deep y'all run. They invited y'all to a NASCAR.
NASCAR.
Need it. Who's that peeking in my window?
Who's that? Who's that at the door?
Hey, there was our 23-year anniversary too, man.
This be the who? Yeah.
25 years.
So, man, we were like, man, we got to have some new music for our fans, man. And, like, we ain't really never stopped writing, man, and never stopped putting music out. You know what I'm saying? It's just been on the independent, on the down low. You feel what I'm saying? Because the major record labels, man, we ain't really fucking with them no more like that. You know what I'm saying?
And why is that? What experiences, being, you know, it's a bunch of new artists out here now. What advice or experiences have y'all had to make you make that statement right there?
I mean, just owning more of your material. That's what I say.
There you go.
Owning more of your material, man, and don't be so eager to sign shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Don't be so eager to sign shit, man. Get a lawyer to look over that shit for you, man. And keep your publishing. You feel what I'm saying? We did that. You know what I'm talking about? Dealing with LaFace Records. That's one thing about them, nigga. They educated us on a lot of shit. You know what I'm talking about? They put us in interview classes, man, so we knew what type of stuff to say in front of the cameras and what not to say in front of the cameras. You feel what I'm saying? But, like, right now, man, shit, it's open season, man, with streaming and everything. You just about say what you need to say. You know what I'm talking about?
No, not that. Get it.
Yes, sir.
So even being in that Dungeon Family era, like, because niggas don't understand. Niggas don't think they can. Like, being in that atmosphere where everybody is at this one location, how was that just being around all this musically, like, talented motherfuckers?
Man, that shit was like resident camp to me, bro. You know what I'm saying? No mama, no daddy to tell you what to do. You ain't got to worry about going to sleep. Man, we stayed up all night, you know what I'm saying, listening to tracks, man. Tracks might be on repeat all night long. Nigga, wake up, tracks still going, you know what I'm saying? Raps playing off in your head, you know what I'm talking about? We couldn't really record down there, but shit, we honed our skills up in that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So, man, it was good being around niggas from Southwest Atlanta, niggas from East Point. I'm from Northwest Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? Then we coming together and just, man, just comparing notes, man, just comparing how you saw life, you know what I'm saying, from your point of view. And we were still, like, in our 20s, you know what I'm saying, 26, or shot of what, 23, you know what I'm saying? So we were some young Southern pioneers, man, getting this shit out of the ground, you know what I'm saying? Putting this shit on our back, we're outcasts, you know what I'm saying?
I wanted to ask y'all this, as a collective, as the group, when y'all came in contact with that book, that Beholder Pale Horse, the impact that it had on everybody. Like you said, I want to hear it from everybody, you know, point of view. Like, you remember that when that moment happened?
Absolutely. We've been talking about it as of late, man. Just,
yeah.
Just readdressing it. But let me see, man. Was it DARP? Was that DARP? So what was we doing up there?
TLC.
Okay. So, you know, and Busta Rhymes doing whatever they doing next door. And, you know, just faithfully, he would just kind of come by and say, like, your brothers, like me, like, I just want to pass on some, you know, some good information that could be of use. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, you know, he was just really, really, you know, a gentleman. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, and, you know, we was always big fans of his, too. So I was like, damn. I mean, like, okay. I forgot how I ended up going in whatever order, but like Big Rube, who's our resident, you know, spiritual advisor and fucking philosopher, you know what I mean? Like, of course, it's only right that he get the book first. I mean, like, he interpreted and so on and so forth. So you're talking about 300 or 400 pages worth of reading and shit, man. Like, so it's 12 or 13 of us living over there at the time. So he got it first. Everybody was patient for that time. You know what I mean? Like, and everybody's eager, you know, for the information because Busta Rhymes had already endorsed it. You know what I mean? Like, it's the way that he presented it to us, I mean, it just really, you know what I mean, like, you know, I was really intrigued about, you know, about it. You know what I mean? So, you know, we would do intervals over there. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I would live over there for maybe 2 weeks straight and then go home and shower. You know what I'm saying? Come back. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I remember taking the book home with me and reading it while I was away and then bringing it back, you know what I'm saying, like, and passing it on. But, like, that was it, though, man. We was young and just kind of just, like, just open, you know what I mean? Like, and just, you know, seeking the knowledge, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Can I say what the book about?
Yeah.
What is it about?
I thought you was gonna tell him.
I'm so intrigued now. Like, what is this book? Like, I need this motherfucker. Okay, so, this is a textbook.
The book is called Behold a Pale Horse. And I don't even know if it's still in print. Bill, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, it is.
William Bill Cooper. Yeah, they did. So it was just foreseeing, you know what I mean, like, you know, current events like, you know, vaccines, you know, pandemics, quarantines, chipping and things of that nature. So, you know what I mean, plagues and so on and so forth. So it's almost like, you know, when it's so post-dated, like, it's almost like conspiracy theory, you know what right. I mean? And so you look at it almost like it's like reading like a Stephen King novel. It's like it's horrific, you know what I mean? Like, it's terrifying. It's like, shit, like, this shit could really happen. So we were just, you know what I mean? That was the inclination. I mean, it was just new information that we're just excited about, you know what I mean? Like, and I just think, you know, even before that, like, I got, both my mother and father were ministers, you know, since I have that background, you know, guilt, you know, so like, you know, was a member of the Nation of Islam, you know what I mean? So, you know, we were already bringing, you know, and then we're just men, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me? And one thing about it is, I feel like we were mature enough, you know what I'm saying, even in our adolescence, to be, have a deeper sense of significance and appreciation for the opportunity and the people around us, you know what I mean? Like, because how this all happened is we all knew each other from different places, like, I mean, like, these guys they graduated together, went to high school together, you know what I'm saying, you know, and they graduated with my sister, so my sister grew up with them, you know what I mean, was in their class, so, but, I grew up with Mo, you know what I'm saying, like, I know Mo since nursery school, but he's, like, 3 years older than me, you know what I'm saying, like, you know what I'm saying, and I've known Andre 3000 since elementary school, we was in third grade together, man. We went to Sarah Smith Elementary, you know what I'm saying, so, it was dope. I knew that it was something really significant and special about us being brought together because we knew each other from different places. Mm-hmm. You know, like I hadn't seen Dre since elementary school. We ended up bumping back into each other going to Frank McLaren Alternative School in College Park, which is a school for dropouts or, you know, people who have children or women, you know what I mean, you know, like trying to go back and get their, you know,
GD.
Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's what it was. I mean, so me and Dre had both dropped out of school. I hadn't seen him since elementary school. You know, we just, you know, rebonded, you know, since just by talking about music. We was fans of Tribe Called Quest and Dos Effects and that kind of shit at the time. So blah 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 blah. Yeah. So that's how that shit happened. You know what I mean? And I introduced him. Cujo mentioned DJ Wynn earlier. God bless the dead. You know, I started with a group called GA Style. You know what I mean? Like, you know, but he did Outkast first demo because I introduced to them. I introduced them to him. And so anyway, we went to school one day. They just came back up there one day. It was like, yo. Your dude is cool, but we met some other dudes, like, you know, he was talking about organized noise. And I was like, all right, my nigga, like, you know, like, that's dope, you know what I mean? Damn, man. I get to rambling, man.
Like, nah, but nigga, we like saying a long story,
bro. I'm going to try to forget. My bad, man.
Nah, nigga, do you.
You could have said anything. Then we stopped, got some chicken. It was cool.
I was about to ask Gibby if he know how I make bean pies. I'm excited.
So look, man. So check this out. check this out, bro. So B and JD. Killer B and King JD. They were the homies. They was the hustlers out the neighborhood. And so we all went to high school together. Me and Cujo, we didn't battle each other, but we had a cypher at a mutual friend's named Glenn Cook, OG Cook. He just came home, man. Did 12 years, man. Welcome home, OG Cook.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
But anyway, his house was the thing to do in high school. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
The palace.
So it's always, you know, stacks and stacks of cases of beer and, you know, the whole shit. So we go over there and get drunk and get the brawling and, you know what I mean, and, you know, fucking talking shit and rapping and shit like that. So anyway, that was every day over his crib. So anyway, I had heard Cujo that could rap. Cujo and T. Through Killer B, he was the hustler in the neighborhood, but he ended up being my manager. So he had their demo. Man, goddamn.
That's real.
That real. Go ahead, nigga. You the type of call a nigga be like,
everybody,
I'm talking to this.
Like,
go ahead, nigga. You got me on the phone.
I'm just trying to, I don't know if y'all want to talk about some specific shit. You just want to know.
No, nigga, this shit is beautiful. This is history, nigga. Nigga don't know this shit. Okay. Nigga don't know this how y'all came about.
All right, so check this shit out. So,
yeah,
they stand in there, goddamn, Cujo a legend. You know, street legend. You know,
allegedly.
You know, And I'm on the way up making a name for myself too. You know what I'm saying? So they was the Lumberjacks. He played it for me. So when I ran up on them, Joe said, "I heard you could rap." I said, "I heard you could rap." You know what I'm saying? Like, you know. But Joe was also goddamn voted most attractive in high school. So my sister used to be like, "Ooh, Willie Nye."
Watch out, man. Watch out. Pretty Boy Floyd, man.
Y'all gonna find that yearbook from his class.
Pretty Boy Floyd, man.
You shouldn't have never said that. You know they gonna find it. They gonna find that shit.
Pretty Boy Floyd,
so,
man.
So I had already heard of the legend of Willie Knight. You know what I'm saying? Like, not only was he like...
He infamous, man, but already.
He was infamous. But a real brawler on top of that. So they're like, damn. You know what I mean? So... Anyway,
who won the battle, man?
It wasn't no battle. We just kind of went back and forth.
Just like a showcase.
Well, yeah, I guess because this is a big dog. Like it was just hood shit. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like we all friends, everybody from high school. It's a cut party or something. Like we coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
So it was just like back then. This one got them DJ Quick album was banging.
Born and raised in Compton.
But it was that instrumental that is called Quick Groove. Quick Groove. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom. And y'all nigga
rapped. We just put that up the other day. You just did. Yeah, you a G. So we rapped over that.
Okay. Man, that's a hard ass album.
I might do this shit in segments, man. Like, let somebody else talk, man.
Go ahead. Gotta tell it,
so, Joe,
he
y'all battle over
it. Hey, Joe, take it from there.
Y'all battle over the Quick.
Oh, man, all that shit. Yeah, we battled over the Quick instrumental, man. And I think I remember Gip was there, man. And that was the first time we seen somebody kind of rap and sing at the same time. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So I think later on, man, we took a trip to the dungeon, man. And that's when everybody just started corralling together. You know what I'm saying? But like you were saying, with the pillar, the white horse or whatever the name of that book was. Behold the Pale Horseman. Back in the 90s, man, you know, people was just getting introduced to, you know what I'm saying, new information, you know, at the time, you know what I'm saying? And you didn't really hear no type of information like that coming out of Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? The only thing you kind of really heard was like strip club music, you know what I'm saying? Underground gangster music, you know what I'm saying? Like Hard Boys and Sammy Sam, all that type of stuff. So you really weren't hearing that type of stuff coming out of Atlanta. But when we got a hold of that book and then we got a hold of other information about the New World Order, back then, it was like VHS tapes out. You know what I'm saying? Like right now, all you got to do is go to Google and just type that shit in. You can pull it up. So it wasn't really like that back in the 90s when we was coming out. It was just VHS tapes that I was over some girl's house, man, and they was just looking at some stuff on a VHS tape. And I was sitting down just writing some raps or whatever. I think later on that day, we supposed to have been going to the studio or whatever. But so that shit just bled off into what I was writing. Then went to the studio, Organized Noise had the Cell Therapy track playing. And I was like, well, shit, man, let me goddamn fuck with that shit for a minute. So that Cell Therapy came on. Then we had that hook came from a long time ago with me and Timo was doing the Lumberjack thing, man. Like, pow, nobody now. Who's that peeking in my window? Mm-hmm. But that was like some real kind of like gangster shit, man. And they just let slide, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. Them niggas didn't really know the faith didn't really know what they had, man. You know what I'm saying? Until it really soaked in that these niggas from the South talking about some New World Order shit, you know what I'm saying? Some Behold the Pale Horseman shit, you know what I'm saying? Let's talk to them guys, see what they know.
And that beat, man, that's one of the best beats ever. That's top five beats in hip hop.
It's like,
bro, I be so high. You know, my favorite part is the little shit, they be like,
that's cold, man. Yeah. So, Gil, man, do you know how to make bean pie?
No, I don't.
Damn. I was gonna ask you to make me one. Them shit's good.
I never got to that.
You never got to that deep into it?
I was brought in by Conrad Muhammad, so I was kind of rolling with the gangster.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I had two uncles in the Nation of Islam, yeah, man, so I know how serious it was.
I was kind of rolling with him during that time, and it was serious during that time because that was the time that he kind of like was going at it with the Nation. Uh-huh. So it was kind of like I got brought into it where I had to choose a side, and once I had to choose a side, I just said, hey, I'm gonna let music be my guide. So as far as being in the Nation, when I got in the Nation, Cool Ace was my teacher.
Cool Ace.
Cool Ace was a teacher in the mosque.
Isn't that amazing?
And I went to the mosque on Aspen Street. Brother Tony, who run LA, that was my teacher then. That was who running the mosque in the West End. So for me, like, the Nation taught me discipline. I used to go to school every day with my Nation outfit on. I used to have silver rings on every finger. And I just thought that it was just, at the time, like, it was just giving me a way of not thinking like how I was taught. I think that was the first time in my life I started saying, I'm gonna rebel against what I was taught as a child. So that's when I started getting them little books. I mean, I would start bringing them books around my Bit Mama, and I'd be like, Bit Mama, hey man, what Santa Claus got to do with toys? And she'd be like, boy, you better get out of here with that bullshit. So it was like that kind of shit. When she started kind of like, I ain't into that, but I start saying, if you ain't into it, it's something about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
the truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, even when I started thinking about Valentine and what an egg got to do with a rabbit, you know, I started just thinking about this shit, started making sense. I was like, wait a minute now, somebody give me. So when I started going to Alabama, talking to my other grandmama, I was like, shit, I can't eat no pork no more. She was like, you don't want your pig ear no more. I was like, shit, I can't eat them no more. Elijah Muhammad said, that ain't good no more.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, who is Elijah Muhammad? And my thing was, anything that they rebelled against, I was drawn to. Mm-hmm. So the story and the structure, first of all, when I found out Elijah Muhammad was from Georgia, that was something to follow. But the first book they gave me to study was...
Eat to Live?
Yeah.
Eat to Live.
Yeah, I never heard that before. I was never taught that information before. And then when I read the Malcolm X book, that turned me out.
Yeah, the Eat to Live. I had to read that shit when I was a little boy. My uncle Eric gave me that book. Yeah. Eat once a day. That's it. Like, and it's so much information in it. I advise anybody to read it. But just the way that they used to run their program was so crazy. Like, they'd go out and work all day. They'd be out all day, and then they'd come home, and the women would have the meal prepared for the day, and that would be the only meal that they ate. And that's just how it worked. And it was
you only like, eat from what your woman cooked.
You only eat from what the family cooked. You only eat one time per day. That's all you need to eat to live.
What about drink water?
Yeah, all water. I said
drink water.
Nigga said, mm-hmm. We can drink water now, nigga.
That's it.
I need to be happy. I'm going to do the other shit.
That's it.
That needs water, goddamn.
They was outside preaching. They was spreading the word.
No goddamn jerk.
You know what I mean? All day long outside spreading the word, trying to get them that scene from Malcolm X, them niggas standing on them ladders preaching. That's what they would do all day. And then they would come back at the end of the day, and all the women would have a meal prepared for everybody.
So, you know, man, as always, man, like you become the product of the environment. You know what I mean? And we recorded Soul Food in Curtis Mayfield's home studio. Mm. We didn't even know that he stayed in the neighborhood. You know what I mean? So, but then, you know, close and immediate family was, you know, Sleepy Brown's father, Jimmy Brown, from the group Brick. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Oh, yeah. That was,
I ain't even know that.
Brick was them niggas, goddamn it. You know what I mean?
So that's him playing the flute. You know, on Daz. Boom, 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 boom. There you go.
That's crazy.
Wow, wow.
This nigga chicken like a cat. Cat about to put his gangbang shit on.
Ain't nothing but a CeeLo Junior right
there. That's a West Coast gangbang.
CeeLo Junior right there.
It's all
right. You know what I'm saying? So listen, man, we literally had living legends. You know what I'm saying? Because Curtis Mayfield was still alive when we were there. You know what I'm saying? We were around when he was doing his last album. You know, honorable mention of Kool Aix because he produced his last album, New World Order. You know, you see how you make the connection there. His last living album was entitled New World Order, Curtis Mayfield. And we did our debut album in his home.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And he gave us some good game. He say, what he was telling Kool Aix, he was like, hey, you know, you got to learn the other tricks of the trade of the industry, man. Like, I know you want to be an artist, and I'm not saying that you're not a good artist. I'm saying, like, but everybody can't be an artist. I mean, like, so, you know, in this industry, you know, you have more, you know, more tries and attempts than successes.
Uh-huh.
He said, so, you know, and every try and attempt needs an engineer. So learn the equipment, learn the logistics. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me?
Run that back one more time. I
he
like
said,
that. Run that back.
Every try and attempt needs an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so learn the equipment. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Learn the tech. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The tech aspect of it. You know what I mean? Like, now you could do art as recreation. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You feel me? Because, you know, I don't know if y'all familiar with Andy Warhol. Andy Warhol has a great quote that says, art is what you can get away with. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's awesome. And I mean, like, that gives us license to do just about anything we could imagine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you don't always have to be a product of your environment, but you being a product of your imagination.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you embody that, man. Cause
no,
like,
I try. I succeed,
that,
man, quite
that
often.
That you make, like, that, you know, that I fell in love with was just, you know, like, You're My Kind of People is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
We're gonna drink good, we're gonna smoke good. The interior is all Oakwood. You know what I mean? It's like, the freedom that you chose to jump, because nobody, I don't really remember, I mean, Dre did it a little bit with the outfits and stuff, but just the whole jumping out there saying, I'm going to do what I want to do, like, where did that come from?
Well, you know, there's a saying that says, well, I said it, it's my saying.
Then go ahead. If you get somebody else to say it, then people will say
it. It
goes, well, you know, niggas not scared of fucking death. Niggas ain't scared of AIDS. They ain't scared of jail. They ain't scared of COVID-19. But one thing other niggas is terrified about is other niggas' opinion.
Ooh.
Nigga won't get out of bed if niggas say getting out of bed ain't cool, right?
Right. You know what I'm saying?
But if you can defy that for a moment, God's promise is on the other side of that decision.
Oh, like, let me ask you about this since you brought it up. Brought, like, niggas be scared of other niggas' opinions.
Feel like their opinion is the law.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you about The Nigga Experience.
Come on.
One of my favorite tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, it's like it's like on some other shit where it's like, what a nigga do,
what a nigga does, what a nigga is, what a nigga was, and a nigga done read history, but yet his eyes didn't see. Mm-hmm. The only reason you a nigga
is because somebody else wants you to be.
What a nigga uneducated, integrated,
singing, we shall overcome.
A nigga trying to be white is what it seems like a nigga had become.
You call me a nigga to my face, can't do nothing but walk away, but here it is,
other niggas nigga every day. Dividing and conquering when they say the light of shades of black, okay,
but after middle class, they passing by the projects, where we stay.
Uh-huh.
Since then, niggas, I got grown.
Had a little bit nigga on my own.
Should've known I could show no better than I was shown. Shit, I still wanted to
get
club as fresh as I could be.
But really, it's all for another nigga to see. And you know how a nigga get when you see another nigga outfit, don't want nobody to have what he ain't got. Somebody get drunk, get mad, get shot. That's why the property value ain't no good.
In a nigga neighborhood.
And nigga could understand if they own it.
Understood.
I'm sick of lying. I'm sick of glorifying dying. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of not trying. I'm sick of...
This nigga's at home. Like, why they only talking to each other?
Destiny sent me to this dream that she said she felt led. Offer me this wisdom from this little book she read.
She nigga cranks.
And a great deal of the black man's downfall
is not knowing that we were never niggas at all.
Woo.
That shit
but
good.
You don't want to hear the truth.
Oh, she looked deep into my eyes and said, brother, don't you know, you complain about being black when niggas don't want, when they don't want to be black, when they mad because they can't be black no more. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You complain about being black, but they mad because they can't be black no more. Yeah. No, man, we got away. We got away with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I got to acknowledge each and every equal in this room. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? There's something... there's a synergy, there's a solidarity, you know what I mean? Like, there's something very unique and special about what we were able to acquire, you know, as a collective effort. Right. It wasn't intentional, it wasn't deliberate. We were comfortable enough to be ourselves because we knew each other from other places.
Right. Mm-hmm,
you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? You feel me? That's what it was. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And Organized Noise, you know, their governing was liberal. You know what I'm saying? You know, they didn't stop us. And plus, we came with stripes. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Our stripes endorsed, you know what I mean, like, and empowered that whole situation. We came in with street stripes. So, like, they weren't in a position of where, you know what I'm saying, like, oh, their attitude wasn't that. They needed to correct us on anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, let's say, for example, me, Big, and Dre are the little brothers. We all the same age. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? So, but I be running with the OGs, my whole life. You know what I mean? So, you know, with that, you know what I'm saying? They was kind of being, you know, curated, shaped, and molded. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? But we were way up. We been off the porch.
Yeah.
We're good at mob. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? And it was dangerous what we were doing.
Right.
We didn't realize it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me? Like, we were too young to realize that we would be forefathers. You know what I'm saying? You know, at some point later. You know what I mean? But, you know, our persistence and insistence, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and our patience and trust with the process is just like Planned Parenthood. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, we wanted to do music that we grow old gracefully and still perform to this day. You know, with dignified. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
It's one Goody Mob song that'll never get brought up.
Which one?
Me and I watch all the interviews y'all do. Beautiful Skin. Mm. And it's like, it's one of those paying tribute to the black women, but nobody ever brings us up. And I think it's one of the hardest Goody Mob songs. Like, Give me the vibe, give me the room. Like, how did that come about?
We was early on that.
I know.
We was so early on that.
Craig Love did that track, right?
Yeah, he did. Craig Love is a homie out of the neighborhood, man. Talented individual.
Mays High School.
With the Mays High School. Mm-hmm. Them say, you feel me? Yep, you already know.
Yes, sir.
Shit, that was the time when Tupac was doing the song.
Dim-Mom.
Yeah, Dim-Mom. Yeah. So I think, man, we was just shit being from the South. You know what I'm saying? You love your father, you know what I'm saying, to death, and you love your mother, you know what I'm saying? So it was just paying homage, man, because wasn't nobody doing that, man. So many niggas was disrespecting women at the time, you know what I'm saying? And at the time, man, we just wanted to give black women, man, they flowers, you know what I'm saying, especially from us. And like you said, man, that shit lasted, man, 25 years. Yeah. So niggas can't say that we were disrespecting black women back at that time, man. We was definitely, man, uplifting them.
We were early on it, yeah. A lot of love, respect.
But we was on the Face Records, man. They wouldn't let us come out with no bullshit, really.
Yeah, Gip, you made that point the other day in the interview. You made me, it dawned on me that we was signed to an R&B label.
Yeah,
label.
I was.
Yeah.
So coming around record label like Death Row.
Them niggas was coming through there, man. Them niggas S Curls was on fleek.
Yeah. Nigga coming in. Nigga was never keeping secrets. You niggas in that bitch rapping about the streets. This nigga in the next studio, man. Never keeping secrets. You know?
So how would that keep your shit that's just, you know, just luxurious?
I mean, it was dope because you got to see another side of entertainment up close. Like, you got to see LA and Babyface up close. You got to see the difference between rap and R&B and the money difference. You got to see the way Usher got treated, TLC got treated, Toni Braxton got treated. Like, you know, to go on them family trips with them and be around those type groups at that time, it was just like, it gave us a lot to look at that other groups couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we had to make sure that the songs that we talked about was at a certain level. The music was at a certain level. Because the label we was on, we couldn't bring hoes ain't shit in there.
Yeah, nah, not when a nigga don't want to keep no secrets in the next studio. Exactly. No.
Like,
never meant to lie to you. You can't call her a bitch. No.
She's not a bitch today.
It's not today, my nigga. No way.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
But you know what? I think that y'all so mogul because, once again, you know, they always talk about us being country.
Yeah.
I always think we're slow. They think we're just the slowest of the slowest. You hear me? But y'all brought a whole intellect side.
Yes.
You feel what I'm saying? Even though the book was the book.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you got niggas who didn't even know nothing about the book.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? It's the way y'all was coming and y'all delivering and what
Hell
y'all was
yeah.
saying. It was like, oh, these niggas ain't just no country rap.
Cause like Gibb came in on Dirty South, like he was reporting live from the news. Now them boys on the low got them boys on their back, like, oh shit, Gibb, what else happened?
What happened?
Right.
Nah, for real.
They didn't get tracked.
Gibb, man, tell me about that mutant mind frame.
That was we were 1 foot in, 1 foot out during them time, man.
Yeah.
We was Gil was moving in DeLow. Gil was doing in half school. Gil was trying to follow Cujo over there in Dixie Hill. I was working Cameron Road Car Wash. You know what I mean? Shoot, man, we was, shit. 160 out, man. Some of that mid, we got you.
Look,
some of that
160 out.
That shit right there, that was mid, 160 out. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You at school, you stealing your dad a car, man.
Yeah.
Man, I'm trying to trap and dad a car, man.
You remember them days?
I took the truck, man, and he came back. You don't know what, busting up in the driveway and he standing there with his hands on the hip like this.
Give me my car.
You know you fucked. But no, it was just them times. We was all still in. Everybody was still working, and we were still doing a lot of shit that we weren't supposed to be doing. But me, I was working in the warehouse. I was going to half school and MLK behind the goddamn the church in the plow. You know what I mean? In the corner, and it was just like shit. We still got to goddamn get to the money, though.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Because goddamn Dixie Hill down there and Joe them getting it.
Right.
So it was like, I'm going.
Look at Joe.
But you know, but look, all that shit was going on, man.
Joe done getting it. I got to go with Joe done, man. Yeah. I hear y'all creeping through the window, but I'm going to the block.
Now, everybody got them double dribbling, man, you know. So, like, Rico opened up his door. Excuse me, like, Rico Wade, man, 130 of the almighty OMP, Organized North Production Troop, man. Shout out to Sleepy Brown and Ray Murray, a.k.a. Yoda. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, he opened up his doors, his home, man. You know what I mean? Like, to a wretch like me. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? So, you know, shouts out to the big bro, man. He just had a birthday recently, too, man. So much love. We're going to love Rico.
Happy birthday, Rico Wade. You know,
yo. They don't make him like him no more, man. I mean, like, you know, open up his doors, open up his home. I mean, like, you know, everything that's sacred and pure and private, man, he gave it to us. He shared it with us, man. You know, when niggas was coming over there broke, like I said, man, we was living over there 2 weeks at a time, not showering, shit like that. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, he might go get one big box of Miss Winter's chicken with a big gallon of sweet tea, man, and feed everybody, man, or like 100 piece of Mojo's, you know, chicken wings. You know what I'm saying?
Mojo.
You know what I'm talking about? That's
hood. Nah, hell nah, but I want some.
Oh, yeah.
Mojo's had good head up.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a love thing, man. It's a devotion thing. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, we really got down for each other. You know what I mean? We really got down.
So when did y'all realize, nigga, we are there? That's it. Coming from the hood, being nigga from the hood, like, we did it.
I probably say, man, that, we presented at the Soul Train Awards for the first time.
When we seen
Tupac and Suge and all them, man, that felt like, man.
Y'all know that scene when on the movie where Pac and Big run up on each other, they jump out the Hummer, right, Pac got on the fatigues, we were standing right there.
Standing right there.
Right there.
Damn. Right there.
I really wanted to be in Goody Mob like that, for real.
Damn.
Yes. Man, I'll tell you the story on that. When we were at, we used to perform a lot at the spot called The Warehouse, man.
Right.
That's kind of where hip-hop really kind of originated in Atlanta, the city of Atlanta. That was really the only outlet where people would go and they would kind of have like an open mic type of thing going on Friday night. Right. Every Friday night, past the mic contest. So me and Joe used to go down there, and then, you know, we kind of made our way through there, made our name through there. We actually had one event where we battled against Gip and his group. The East Point Chain Gang. You know, we didn't even know it was gonna be like that. We just went, we signed up, and then we got there. We're like, hold on, right. Nigga, get up there. Nigga, oh shit, what's up? Oh, y'all performing too?
Then we went up there. Beat Street,
We got to rock that thing. They rocked that thing, and it came down. And it's funny, it came down to us two groups. You know, anyway. You know, we won that one, give it.
We got that one, give it.
But it was all good, man. That's where the family came together. But anyway, man, right after that, Goody Mob came together and we performed there together as a group with all four of us. And his publicist, Tupac publicist, came up to me after the show. And she was like, yo, Tupac trying to get with y'all. And I didn't believe her. You know, I'm like, man, who is this? Like, who are you? I don't know you. You know, I ain't never seen you with Pop before. Like, I didn't say that, but that was kind of the energy I was giving her.
Right.
And she came at me, and she was like, no. I got real information on him. You know, he's at Clinton, such and such facility. So then I was like, okay, you know what you're talking about.
Right.
So I said, well, what are you trying to do? She was like, you know, he just want to get with y'all and just kind of talk to y'all. He's just trying to figure out how to get up out of jail right now. So I was like, you know,
God damn,
I ain't got no money to get about it.
I'm like, damn, man, dog.
You trying to get put on.
You ain't got no money in the club.
Meanwhile, Gip over there like, shit, we get all some of that mid.
I'm talking junk about that.
It was $1 million to get him out.
Straight cash.
Yeah.
Then came the Good Mob first.
Okay.
And fucked up.
I love that though, man. Our legacy is, you know, attached to his, man. You know what I mean? Like, we was in the company of that greatness, man. You know what I mean?
So, speaking of Atlanta, like you said, like Fly said, Atlanta wasn't known for being the type of guys that y'all displayed. Like, what was it like when y'all started hitting the road and going to these different cities as the Goody Mob? You know what I mean?
It's what Gil said the other day, man. He was just saying how, you know, that was the era before internet, you know what I'm saying? All this shit, you know what I'm saying? Right. You feel me? Cell phones with cameras, any of this shit. You know what I mean? So we weren't seeing niggas until we saw them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we was the first to go.
That's hard.
Go to New York. You know what I'm saying?
And represent.
I mean, like, so, like, I think the first time, like, the whole hip-hop community came together was that one of those first, maybe that second or that third Source Awards where Suge, you know, the famous quote. Yeah, but we was out there. We was right there, as you know.
Same one where Dre said, Yana?
Yeah, that's the same one.
That shit was lit.
The energy was thick. And I'm going to tell you, like, if y'all remember the clip when Snoop was like, y'all don't love, y'all ain't got no love for Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. Right. You seen that police baton they had?
Yeah.
All the niggas had them batons. They whole crew, they was 50 deep. Everybody, I said, who licensed these things?
And they were all, at least CeeLo size, but they were all about 6'5", yeah. CeeLo size.
It was just us.
Football line, man.
But you know, one thing that was good about us, like what you say, man. Like we intellects, we eccentrics, we gypsies, all that kind of shit. Yeah. All the other extra shit.
Right.
But that real nigga shit, it stink off us. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? So like, yeah, we was in the dog pound, man. They ain't smell no puss on her.
Hell yeah. Right. Nigga, you said y'all was
I'ma say it like that, cause
shit.
We on 85, so I don't wanna keep it real, man. I wanna talk it how it really is. Like, I want a nigga to know.
Real shit. Welcome back to the 85 South Show. We in here with the good and more.
Damn.
Come on, man.
Damn.
I mean, so
It was with pride and with necessity, bro. We had to do it. We were the first.
Right.
We couldn't take no guns with us, no leg cross lines. So
it was just us.
They were, man, it was the lyrics, man. We weren't talking no crazy. We were just talking some real Atlanta shit, man. Right. You know what I'm talking about? And they ain't never been to Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? They ain't never been on Cameron Road,
right.
Been on Cascade. They ain't never been to Greenbrier. They ain't never been down on the interstates, none of that stuff. So when they heard all that stuff in the music, they wanted to know what it was all about.
You
know what I'm talking about? Just like when we hear some stuff from when NWA came out, I like, man, I'm scared of them niggas, bro.
Man, for real, like if you listen to how T-Mo come in, and you wasn't, like, say you ain't know him and you just heard the nigga come in and he say, you know they making it hard on the yard. Fuck Chris Dawn and fuck Marshall Clark. Like, hey, man, I believe every rap you ever rapped, T-Mo.
I don't give a fuck
what you talking about. Like, yeah, cause it's like the way that your voice come across, it like you ain't about to bullshit a nigga much aggression, but he's like, I ain't gonna get too mad because I need niggas to hear how mad I am.
We loved it though, man, because in the time that we coming, man, Atlanta was like gladiator school.
Right. What'd you say, OG?
Atlanta was like gladiator school around that time because this was the era before gunplay. Any of that even came into play.
Mm-hmm.
It was two of the niggas that they had guns.
Little girls jumping rope sound gangster. Yeah. Tamika and Tim outside tripping and skipping rope to the beats from my Jeep. I'm like, nigga, oh. that ain't some gangster shit that sound gangster.
Yeah.
But that's some real, that's some real shit. And niggas listening to it gotta respect it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Why he ain't say he shot a nigga and then went to the crib and drunk a beer? Nah, this nigga just kept it real.
He kept it
all the way real, and you can't do nothing about that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So when they saw the mob when we was doing shows, man, they was just sitting looking, man. Just listening, man. Cause they ain't never heard four niggas from the South, you know what I'm saying, spitting on some real live music from organized.
But then we were stepping up the stage, getting down into the audience and ciphering with niggas. We ciphered with Boot Camp Click and, you know, Duck Down and all them,
making them rap.
Man,
those times are gone.
These songs made such a huge impression on my life. Like, nigga come in on the song, when the scene unfolds.
Young girl,
13 years old, exposed himself. Come on. It's like, how you gonna
look? I mean, wanna rap,
you gotta listen to all of that. You don't listen to a part of that. Then you gotta hear that whole story.
Okay.
By the end of that verse, everything in the room is moving, just like in the video. It's like, it's just like audio dope for real. And it made niggas who love the craziest hip hop stop and be like, hold on, nigga, they might just be listening enough.
You know, some niggas didn't read.
Niggas
weren't really read, man. They was really getting their knowledge from music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, well, shit, let me hear what Goody Mob got to say. Go look that up. All right, I can deal with that. So, that's what it is, man. You know what I'm saying? You want to put something real in your raps, man. Mm-hmm. And you want that shit. We didn't know it was going to last this long, 25 years, man. We was just being hood reporters, man, at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying?
But you know, you know how they identify with MCs though, like because we're like it's like algorithm. You know what I'm saying, cadences. So mm-hmm. they're looking at patterns and shit like that. One thing we all was unique. Everybody rhymed in different patterns. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what New York. You know what I mean? Like that's what raised their brow about us, and they realized that it was dealing with a different kind of ambition. It was mm-hmm. different. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
So, they sound like nobody else.
Because, and then you got to factor tempo into it. Because, like, you know, at one time, everything that came from Atlanta was derivative of Florida. You know what I'm saying? So it was all skating rink and booty shake. So you're going at 100 and goddamn 26 beats per minute. It ain't, I can say, been on all them Judge Buck J. Let's grab. Let's go and stop. Let's bow. Shout out to Buck. You know what I mean?
That nigga CeeLo just made his boy imagine.
But you see what I'm saying though?
So when we turned it down, then you go all the way down to
them niggas got something to say. It ain't dead back to booty holes.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I love about the music, though. It always had that common sense.
You been talking
and
about booty holes on the leg. It's another booty hole. All y'all niggas just keep bugging with booty holes.
If y'all ain't from the South, then you wouldn't even know who I was referencing, man. That's goddamn OG JT Money, man, from the Poison Clan.
JT Money.
Yes, them my niggas. Them my extended family, man. So no disrespect. Hey. All love.
JT Money.
JT Money got some pimp shit too now.
Yeah, yeah, but see that's what I'm saying. Like, y'all in Florida, I would say that y'all in Florida too. Because that nigga came when I first heard JT Money was there.
You got to go all the way back to Poison Clan. Them the first niggas I felt like could really, really rap. They are the ones that gave me inspiration about just lyricism.
Talk your shit, OG.
Because you know you look at. I mean, shout out to Debonair, the devil's dad. You know what I'm saying? Like his partner in Poison Clan. You know they got. What you know about drugs? What? Okay. So look, they what was the song? Spoiled Rot. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my accounts too much, sleep solo. I wear polo while I'm playing polo. They were spitting. You know what I mean? Like, so it was them.
Yeah.
And then it was 8-Ball and MJG to let me know, okay, like, this motherfucker who can really, really rap. Oh, and of course, Scarface. Shouts out to the
two guys. Legendary.
You know what I mean? So there was a variety. That's it. I mean, just those couple of references right there let you know what we was capable of. Like, you know. But what I can say, man, like this generation of now, you know what I mean? Like, I see remnants. I see my reflection in everything everybody's doing. And, you know, one thing about what you speak, you say it often enough, it casts a spell. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, it's magic. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's black magic when we do it. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
So on the West Coast, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? The spell, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, was, you know, they spoke death. You know what I'm saying? Like, And death dies, life lives on. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? We spoke life. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, and we breathe life into, you know, now a decade and a half of offspring. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, keeping the torch burning for the South. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, so all the different little barriers. Man, that ain't no disrespect. Am I saying that right?
No, you're
on some
I'm
shit.
I'm just saying all our children rich.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
That's all you saying.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what you saying.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Pop that mood hole.
Nah, man, I've been a fan of everything. Y'all, I can start naming random shit.
I'm talking about our artistic children. Everybody who's inspired by Dungeon Family, all of the styles. Like, we became the grill for the South, man. All of the many different things that you could do.
Atlanta is now like the where you have to come to even try to branch off or do any music. Like, niggas are coming here.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? And it was like, even now you here, do you even know who started here?
Yeah.
You got to go touch the
pot.
Ain't
no way around
here. Yeah,
you know,
like,
let me ask you this one, CeeLo.
That's ours.
That's what I'm saying. How that make y'all feel?
Let me ask you this.
Influence so many people, man.
This one of the ones I feel like it slept on, too. That bass head jazz.
I get a lot. People mention that a lot to me, man. I tell you about that shit. That shit was like a mistake.
Come on, man.
For real?
That motherfucker's so smooth, man.
The beat keep
man.
Cutting off because some of it got erased when we was doing that beat. So it keeps stopping because a part of it got erased. And they was like, man, just fuck with it. Just leave it like that. I ain't know no better.
That's called artistic.
Straight to the point.
Hey, man, what I say earlier, man, art is what you can get away with.
You feel me?
Man, we're going to sit up here and try to speak as colorfully, you know what I'm saying, you know, and as effectively as we can, man, right. to make you feel like we knew a little bit about what the fuck we was doing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? All been a blessing, man. Like, you know, you can't really, I can't even articulate it. I can talk like a motherfucker, but, like, it's bigger than words, man. I mean, like, what we was able to do, man, it's a blessing, man. We humble, my nigga.
That's stepping out. That's one of my favorites, too. Bang.
Right. Zing, zing, bing, bing.
That was the time of Atlanta in the Karma time. That was Karma.
Y'all remember the club?
Yeah, you got to get me up on Karma.
Yeah, man.
That's some Stan Rose shit.
That was like, no, that was some downtown.
Yeah, ain't no downtown.
Yeah.
Stay away from downtown.
That's when Madonna was hanging out in Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's when the other level of Atlanta started. That's when people seeing Dallas come out more. Dallas started coming out more. Dallas Austin. Awesome.
He stopped through the trap.
Yeah, that's when more of us started seeing what that lifestyle was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
that was another life.
That was another life. That was another life. Money.
Mm-hmm.
That was big record.
That's a long way from 160 again. Yeah, I feel. Do y'all feel like y'all get the recognition? You know, being as though, like you said, y'all touch so many artists and y'all can see y'all influencing all these artists. Do you feel like when people run into y'all, do they say, "Oh man, thank you," and give y'all prop, y'all flower?
Oh man, that shit awesome, man. I mean, the same shit that I used to do when I used to see people that I looked up to. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know what I'm saying? It's having an effect now. You know what I'm talking about? So I can run up to people, man. They say, man, you know what I'm saying? I was 13 years old. Y'all came out of shit. My dad and my mama put me on the Goody Mob or whatever. Man, we still listen to Goody Mob. So, man, it's great, man. But that's how it is, man, when you raising the flag, man, for your own shit, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then, man, you some four hungry young men, man, just ripping through adversely, man, like it ain't shit, man. Because like you said, man, they country. Nigga don't know nothing about nothing, man. I mean, what the hell kind of song is Cell Therapy? And, I mean, what is this? But, man, we kept pushing, man. I mean, we was on the road by ourselves.
We fought.
You know what I'm saying? All four of us. I'm talking about going into a big-ass crowd with white boys shooting birds at you. You know what I'm saying? We like, man, what the hell is that? Man, y'all don't fuck with us, man. We got to stay like, that mean we love y'all. I'm like, for real? Like, bro, where we come from, man, that don't mean what that mean. You know what I mean? So, man, we had to go through all that, man. I mean, shit, first time jumping on an airplane leaving Georgia, nigga, I wasn't finna go nowhere. You know what I'm saying? I was finna stay right here, but.
One of the first shows we did, man, there was a stage built on top of them fucking big spools. They got the, how you roll them out and put the wiring for the fucking, the lines, the power lines?
Yeah.
Them big spools.
Yeah.
They put a fucking, like a fucking coffee, not a coffee table, but one of them folding tables. Am I right? You remember that shit?
Mm-hmm.
And we got there sharing, we had one motherfucking mic and one goddamn Bobby Brown mic.
That was our first tour.
Ja Rule, he was part of a group called the Cash Money Click, man.
Yeah, nah.
Herb Gotti was the DJ. It was Shaheem the Rugged Child, who was with Wu-Tang, OC, Mike Geronimo, Royal Flush. Who else was out there?
Hip hop, boy. That was a time to be alive back then.
That's what I was just saying. Those times.
Oh, Harry Pussy.
Was Jamal out there?
Yes, sir. He said, yes, sir. Harry Pussy, everyone. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He said that?
That's something that I'm glad that y'all back doing it because, like I said, those times are gone. We'll never get those times again. Now everything is recorded. You can't miss no moments now. Like, right. These stories that y'all got, we need y'all to tell them.
Hell yeah.
Y'all was there.
Right. I got one more to ask about.
What?
People always bring up CeeLo's song Crazy, right?
Yeah.
That shit took over the world.
Shit went crazy.
But, you know, my shit is Smiley Faces, though.
That's a good one.
That shit is crazy. It's, like, that's one of them... For real, happy type songs. Yeah. You get what I'm saying?
Mine is
like,
fuck you.
That's that one too.
I mean, not fuck you, but fuck you.
Yeah, that right. And fuck up to you.
What I always say, you know, any success we ever had, man, it all lends itself to, you know, what it extends from. I mean, like, it extends from the Dungeon family tree. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, a lot of those things, you know, were given license. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, because we had already accomplished prior, man. So, you know, they extend that far into the world, man. Like, you know, it's truly a testament to where it start from. The strength of the roots of the situation, man. This Dungeon family. So, we always do it, like, you know, and say, hey, man, if Outkast win, we all win. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, goddamn it, B.O.B. or goddamn Miss Jackson, when that's a hit record, it's our hit record. It ain't just Outkast hit record. We get a piece of it. You see what I'm saying? You know, and vice versa. So, you know, basically, yeah, it was Gnarls Barkley, but Crazy is a Dungeon Family record. You know what I'm saying? Dungeon Family is why motherfuckers got to respect.
Now, what adjustments did y'all have to make once y'all blew up? Like, when y'all coming from the streets of Atlanta and becoming superstars, like, what was the adjustments? Like, because everybody want to make it, but they don't know what it take to get to get there, to decide that you got to deal with all these different personalities and
come on, give me talk that shit.
That you know is bitch-ass niggas, but you got to deal with them because they signed the checks. Like,
this gift department. Let me drag your joint.
Drag on.
I think it like this. We came in already knowing a lot and more than the average artist knew. You know what I mean? So off top, we was already a problem to the record labels. We was already a problem to the establishment. The things that we came in talking about, we was already a problem to the establishment. So with us knowing that, we knew we had to work harder. That's why stage shows were always live with live bands. And that's why we did the things we did. And that's why I felt like CeeLo was the singing, breaking the shows down, doing the poetry, breaking it off, letting Lumberjacks do what they was doing when we was doing Call of the Wild verses and doing Get Up, Get Out. We stayed on what Goody Mob was about. At the same time, we knew that us talking to people and being on BET, it made us a little bit more important than the average rapper at the time because everybody was just spewing one direction. And with that being said, it made us ask a lot of questions when we got to Chicago. Now we're not with LaFace people, we were Arista people. We started asking these people questions. Like when we got taken out and we all of a sudden we sitting at a restaurant, we taking 80 people out.
Yeah.
Instead of us sitting there and being like, it's cool and we ordering, we'll be like, shit, how much this cost?
Right.
Who paying for this shit?
Hey, Gil.
What the fuck going on? And they be like, they problems. Even though they got hit records, I'm going to tell y'all about an incident. As soon as we went gold, we was in a room with L.A. And us just being so militant and so military-minded, it was almost like, it was like, congratulations, y'all gold. And it was like, yeah, that's cool. But we were organized north. Fuck you. And it came off like that to them, because it was like, and to this day I think about it, I'm like, damn, was that a mistake? But it was like, that's how we felt, because that's how we came in the game. We were sitting in Curtis Mayfield's house, and he took me in his room, and he showed me the original shits from Superfly, and he said, yo, Gil, never sell your publishing until you ready to lead the game. And you gotta think, having these conversations with actual legends, it made us different. It made us difficult because even, you know, we got to the table with Gold Records and they'd be like, yo, we got that $250,000 for y'all. And we'd be up in there like, shit, fuck that shit. This ain't enough money.
But you know what, give
them?
Because
we always broke it down to, it's four of us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So even right now, that saved us 25 years later. Right now, we sitting here and we own everything we ever recorded.
Nigga can't even say that.
Yeah.
None of them niggas can't even say that.
You know?
It's true.
And it's like, we see everybody with the big how to be. We know. Y'all sold and we know. Y'all got the check. But they can't offer us enough money to have this. See, as long as we still hold our balls and our draws, hey, man, they got respect and love.
Right.
Them boys did enough with them awards and all that. But I'm talking about for these streets, for the streets of the streets, because we still.
Right.
That's the truth.
So even not giving part of the ownership, you think that kind of scared the label?
No, it's just that they know we always been smarter than what we spoke, we look like.
But I was just gonna say, the answer, then cap off what you said, it was a mistake because it was an assumption. It was a misunderstanding. We never sat down at the table and had a conversation. Our action was our opinion. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what we did, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, even in the art form or even in just the energy, mm-hmm, you know, was our stance and opinion. Mm-hmm. So they never even asked us. You know what I'm saying?
It was like, after this, you like, nah, fuck you. Okay.
We had to say fuck you. Everything we doing in the art form was like, fuck you.
That's why we
they pay for Manchurian candidates. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
They pay what?
Manchurian candidate. They pay for somebody that's fixed. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's appointed, you know, to mule whatever agenda it mm-hmm, may be. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they don't support independence.
Right.
You
know what I'm saying? Right. Because y'all going to end up spreading it out to others.
You got
to
goddamn get somebody. Hey, will you help me be independent? Mm-hmm. You can't say that. That makes no sense.
Right.
You got to either be independent or not.
Right.
That's the deal.
And then have to pee that, boy.
They ain't like that side of the game. Like, y'all can be a cancer to the
well,
to the lane.
Well, independence is you know, it equates to knowing your worth. Right. Yourself. You know what I mean? You feel me?
And at the same time, think about it. We always on the same labels. We seeing what's going on with TLC. We seeing what's going on with Toni Braxton. But think about that. That label was so cold, the face was so cold, nobody, even the artists didn't talk to each other about that.
Right.
Because the game was so good.
Right.
Shit, you got the money, you can make everybody act right.
Right.
For a little while.
Right.
it's that last part.
For a little while. So, because that's like, they get the upfront money, or they say you get a part of the sales, but niggas ain't even thinking about publishing or radio playing.
Hey, man,
let's
not make it sound like it's something negative, man. We're talking about business.
Business,
right?
Yeah, more definitely.
Business is business, man. It's a church and state. You don't get what you deserve, you get what you negotiate.
More definitely.
That's a ball right there.
No, for
business,
real.
Like church and state. You don't get what you want, you get what you negotiate.
More definitely. Because business is definitely business.
I didn't
business.
Mean for that to rhyme.
But it did.
Business is business, because if you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah.
Now, I hear a lot about, y'all was around during this era. I hear Suge got a lot of people paid, like, and went in and did that, like, the get, it went from, you know, a couple cents per record to you getting a dollar or something per record. Did that shift all the way through the industry or just the people he affected personally?
It kind of shifted all the way through.
Speak on it, Mo's a smart guy.
It kind of shifted all the way around. We actually began to make more off records. Then, because when we first came in, the deal we did, I mean, it was so insane and so terrible of a deal. But like CeeLo said, that's what we negotiated. You know, he called some young black men that were excited about being with LaFace Records, you know what I mean? Babyface, you know, L.A. Reid, nigga. Like, y'all want to sign us? Let's go. Whatever, you know what I mean? Whatever. Be honest with you, we probably would have signed it without even letting the lawyer look at it. We were just so that crunk about getting down with them. Because we were artists, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And young kids. And that's why they get them young, because they're young and dumb. You know, not mean dumb, but they're stupid. But just uneducated, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Just don't know what to do or how to do it. But, you know, it's a good thing that Suge did. I will give him credit for that, going in, getting the people their money. I mean, that's the type of stuff people want. You know, that's the type of person you want on your team, somebody like that. You know, it's just, you know, he has some negative and some positive qualities that were good for business, you know what I mean? So,
tactics.
Let me ask y'all this. Y'all were in the front of the pack when the South started the official run in hip-hop. Did you ever think the run would last this long? For Atlanta to be that place, musical hotbed that it is. From the time Bobby Brown got the town all the way up until now, or whenever that turning point in music was for Atlanta.
Even he knew it was somebody that Atlanta.
You get what I'm saying?
He was early on it. That why he's such a
good. That way he came on out. Yes, sir. Come on.
I mean, New York had their chance. You know what I'm saying? Not like they don't have another chance, but it was like they started it first. You know what I'm saying? It was born up there, but it had to keep growing. You know what I'm saying? It had to keep growing and come down to the West Coast, then come down to the Southwest Coast, then and it ended up down here in the South. And we just embraced it so much because I guess we just been kicked out of the conversation for so long. And then when you talk about us in the conversation, you know what I'm saying, it's on some goddamn ho shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So, I mean, just for young MCs right now that do their history and watch the videos and listen to the radio, man, and try to, you know what I'm saying, make their rhymes different from everybody else, or just trying to get some drip out here, man, just get lit or whatever, man, and try to just push that envelope, man, because this is our genre right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You want people to respect your genre, just like people respect country. You know what I'm saying? They have big-ass awards for country people. You know what I'm saying? Jazz, I mean, saying blues. So, you know what I'm saying? Bring some to the culture. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, whatever these young brothers are doing, it's all right to have fun, because that's what we was doing. You know what I'm saying? We was doing our thing. We didn't know that Cell Therapy was going to be as big as it was. Our whole album wasn't about Cell Therapy.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Our whole album was about shit, the Dirty South, what was going on in the South. You know what I'm saying? This shit was born in the trap. You know what I'm saying? The name Goody Mob came up out the trap. You know what I'm saying? So, but it evolved into something else. You know what I'm saying? That people know a nigga for 25 years. So,
I was just about to speak on evolution, man. Like, yeah. Shit, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's never no disrespect to where it's birthed. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? The, you know, we are the bottom end of the East Coast, man. We are relative. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, you feel mm-hmm. me? I feel immediately connected to where the East Coast initiated, man, up top, as far as hip-hop. I'm totally and completely inspired by East Coast hip-hop. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Look at this shit.
You hear me? That's facts. Okay. Right. Right.
So, but what I'm saying, you don't go back to the womb, you go to the tomb. Hip hop ain't nothing but like 40 some years old. This a big baby. Right. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, right. It's like we still growing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to grow on past us. You know what I mean? And the irony of it is, like, you know, this generation is owning more of their country and making more money than any other prior generation off their content and culture. So you got to salute that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to salute that. But, you know, at its most accessible and most influential, I feel like as a whole, you know, we're operating on our lowest frequency. You know what I'm saying? Like,
damn.
That's all.
That's a hell of a thought right there.
You know, like, the earth is getting a large omission. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Of very destructive energy. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Right, in my
opinion.
Right.
When God, it comes, you're talking about when it just comes
to
music?
If God is but one thing, mm-hmm. it's time. If God is but one other thing, it's balance. That's all we got to have. That's all good enough. Not here to judge. We love the youth. We love, like, we real niggas. We will kill you if you fuck with us out here. You know, just like the rest of me, like,
PSA.
We understand.
Don't get it fucked up.
You know what I'm saying? But we here to represent a balance. You know, like a coexistence, a cohabitance, a true community, right. a true mm-hmm. culture. It's balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, that's all we here to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, and as long as that the balance can be supported, man, you know, it's just, you know, righteousness, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know. That's it, man. We too heavy?
No, hell no. Nigga. I mean, you know, it's like...
I'm over here grilling like I'm at church.
You know, because
we
all influenced by y'all heavily. Like, you know, even if, you know, I would say Losis, because Losis put me onto a lot of Goody Mob. I was familiar with the stuff that everybody knew. But he put me onto the stuff that... You know, let me know, like, whoa, these niggas was really. And once you get that information, you see how much game y'all laid down. So for us to be here and be able to just chop it up and talk to y'all, it's like, that's why we like, well, these niggas is really right here. You know what I'm saying?
No, we came along, the internet wasn't really popping like that. So you wouldn't really know. But until now, until you just start searching out a T-Mo Goody or searching out a Gip or a CeeLo or a Cujo, mm-hmm. then you will see it's new music out there, you know what I'm saying? But just like the radio station, they move on. Like Cube said, they'll have a new nigga next year. You feel what I'm saying? So it's all about what you do. Like P said, it's all about what you do with your 24 hours. Mm-hmm. You got 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
See, what you do with the rest of them is what you do with it. You know what I'm saying? So shit, it was just a blessing that when we were young, we was able to just write all that shit down, man, and was able to just spit that shit on them live instruments. and man, make a name for ourselves, bro.
I like it, though, man. The internet is just, it's mass production, mass consumption. Mm-hmm. You just got to work at the rate. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? You know what I'm saying? Like, you just got to do a lot of what you do.
Right.
You feel me? That's how you compete.
Made a hell of a
And that's
point.
Working hard. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, that's grinding and fucking committing yourself like a motherfucker, man. You know what you cannot be. There's no way
around it. They've been telling us for 5 years to get y'all on here.
Hell yeah.
Every
literally, like, call them. I'm like, nigga, I can't call them.
Right, and he just made a good point, Cujo. Like, if you ain't never heard of this new music, you know what I mean? So, for everybody that might not know what, you know, that these dudes catalog, go listen to it. It'll be new to you.
That's iconic, man. Y'all bullshitting. Every time he just speak of Dungeon Family, I'm just like, nigga.
Them niggas been there, bro.
You got to understand the heart, you feel me? The heartbeat of Atlanta. The heartbeat, niggas tripping. You gotta understand the heartbeat of why this shit flowing and how even you said the future. Nigga don't know Future's in that Dungeon Family. You see what I'm saying? And Future done birthed a lot of other motherfuckers. So the heartbeat is still beating.
But see, it's like whatever point in your life you was listening to this shit.
Through his land. Yeah. You feel me? Look back at us through Future. It's like, yeah, it's all right. Yeah. We ain't that far away from you. We there.
I damn near want to go at the house. I just need to stop by. All
right. What'd you say?
But I was just saying, this. They made the kind of music, like Goody Mob, that you have to go back and listen to when you grown.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, you don't understand.
Kids can't listen to that. It's, child.
It, that's man. How deep it went, because they said a lot without even directly saying this shit.
Man, thank y'all. Y'all solidifying us by being here. You know what I mean? We learning a lot. And me and you need to learn how to bake bean pies, man.
It's bullshit.
Get
the beans.
Start right there.
Don't want the bean pies, yo. Don't make the right bean pies. Nigga, old Dixie Hill fucked up. He might have seen. He might have been done. Who you think of it? I'm seeing those fools.
Y'all went crazy on the new album.
Yes, sir.
Survival Kit, bro.
Yes, sir.
Survival Kit.
Everybody
why that name?
Survival Kit.
Everybody knew
you want. Hey, man, Survival Kit. I don't know, man. It's like everybody got different stuff they can put in their survival kit. You know what I'm saying? Music is one thing you might want to get in your survival kit. You know what I mean?
I would need that.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever, you know what I'm saying? Hey, bro, you got to have that music. So, like I said, it was our 25th year anniversary. And it was only right, man, and we did a new album for our fans. And had that survival kit come up, man, just because of what we were going through with the pandemic. You know what I'm saying? People were just getting prepared. You know what I'm saying? So all we was doing, man, was just speaking on a lot of stuff, man, that was going on at the time. You know what I mean? And and putting it out there, bro. So, I mean, we from the 90s, man. It's 2020, 2021.
Yeah.
Hey, bro.
Y'all still here. Still moving.
Still standing.
Still grabbing it.
Still standing.
Still
self-air, bitch. Man, for real. But y'all
call
this shit already.
Ages made me think, what songs would I have in my survival kit? Nigga, if you get five songs, this your survival kit song.
You get five.
Everybody got to get five?
Everybody got to get five songs in your survival kit. Shit.
So you go first.
Woo, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
That's hard.
Get what he do.
Yeah, that's a hard one. Damn, Willie Hutch, The Glow.
Hey, okay. From the last Dragon
yes,
soundtrack.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Willie Hutch, The Glow.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Damn, I got to go regroup. I got to throw that one away.
That's heavy.
Willie Hutch, The Glow.
Shine on.
Yes, sir. Michael Jackson, Dirty Diana.
That was nice. I got a Michael, too, though.
Michael Jackson in your shit.
I got Switch, I Call Your Name. Then I got Masterpiece Swamp Niggas.
Swamp Niggas?
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah. And then I'm from DC, so Backyard Bang, Keep It Gangsta. That's my five. That's my five.
I was just you gotta go. Recently.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's,
you gotta go. Who you got?
I ain't ready. Come on.
he can't tell. Y'all going on the game.
This is a good-ass question, man. That goddamn your survival kit.
I got So Fresh and So Clean.
Ooh, okay.
I got to go with So Fresh. Tyrese, Sweet Lady.
Okay.
Shit. I got to go back. I had another one. Teddy, TKO. I can listen to that shit all day. Finna go home. Wagwan. Not Bob Marley, but his son, Skip Marley.
Yeah.
He got a good one. They call it called what it's called, goddammit. I think it's Slow Down. I have to fuck with Slow Down because I can't get the other one. What I'm on, four? That four? And my last one, y'all, real talk. I'm going now, nigga. And I wish nigga would say something. Beyonce, Dream Girls.
Listen, they got their phone.
Oh shit!
What you got, bro? You know, that's a good song.
All right, you had the old school first. Let me see. I throw that Boosie Collins. What's a telephone bill in there? That motherfucker too hard, man.
Yeah, that's hard.
All right. Let me see. I put that Herbie Hancock.
Oh man.
That watermelon, man.
Hell no. Yeah. She sound heavy.
That's my shit. I need that.
Wow. All right.
Wow. This is gonna sound random as hell. I wanna throw Flex by Mad Cobra.
Flex, time to have sex?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll throw that in there.
Time to have sex.
Yeah, that's my shit.
That's all that bags.
That's my shit. I don't give a fuck what nobody says.
Let me find out that one Carlo got a slow grind. All right.
I'm at number four. I love the way that bitch come on.
Morning. Just can't wait till.
Nigga come out of nowhere. Been too long. It's good to talk and shit.
Man, man,
okay,
man.
All right. Not just because y'all here. Not just because y'all here. I'm putting Lance Straw's Mirrors and Plates on that mug. That's number four.
Good
okay.
Butter.
Oh, okay. That's it. Okay. I'm telling you, because I was about to get out of high school when that album came. So that was my whole soundtrack all the way back from the football game.
Last one.
So Gutter Butter. Last one. Shit.
What's the thing again? Five songs to do what?
Survival kit.
Okay. In the survival kit.
You gotta listen to them bitches every day now.
I know.
Just to die.
Okay. Alright. I gotta throw one in here for my spirit.
What's that?
Which one?
That Al Green.
Damn.
Which one?
How can you mend a broken heart?
Because
you gotta keep in mind, this is all I got.
Heart. How can?
That
you
nigga,
are broken, man.
That nigga
what's
said,
wrong with you,
how
man?
Can a loser ever win? And then my favorite shit is at the end when the nigga just, the song about to go off, the nigga like, and my clothes is all wet. That ain't had shit to do with the song.
He was in the rain.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me see, shit. I gotta have that goddamn, that James Brown, This Is a Man's World.
Come
okay.
on.
Okay, okay, okay. Him. He letting him know. Let me play this for you.
See, goddamn, I gotta have that sitting at the dock of the bay.
Come on.
Otis Redding.
Yeah, I gotta have that Otis
Redding. So come on.
I gotta have that goddamn Midnight Train to Georgia. Gotta have that Midnight Train to Georgia.
Oh, that was good.
Let me see, I got two more, right?
Yes, sir.
Let me see. I gotta have that Still Standing, though. That song Still Standing.
Okay.
You love that?
I love that one, folks. Gotta have that one. Gotta have that one.
You like that one?
Let me see.
Got
one
got
more
it.
Goddamn.
I got it.
One
you
more.
Got yours?
Yes.
He had to go look
one
here.
More. He got one more. He got one more.
One more come goddamn. On, I gotta come have on, that goddamn.
Like records.
That Deep by Outkast.
Deep.
Oh. You want to go deep, I take it deep.
Yeah.
You know you can't fuck with me, let my mind creep. Uh-huh. Then let me hit the stage, now I'm going to mind creep.
Uh-huh.
That's it, that yes. Boy. You wanna go, oh.
Deeper than the page in the book. Let me look. Come
you
on.
Let me hit the stage, now I got that ass.
Well, he had it right here, down.
All right, I got goddamn. Ram Careless Whisper. Hey!
Good one, my nigga.
Boy,
they took that George Michael,
nigga. Hold on. All right, I got Bob Marley Redemption.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Got to go. Okay.
Redemption. All right, we're going to take it on to the beach. We're going to Color Me Bad, Sexual.
Oh!
Come on, okay. Man.
Yeah.
Then we gonna get down hit. We gonna 5 o'clock drop. That's that 8 ball MJG, Mr.
Okay,
B.
Okay.
Mr. B.
Okay.
And then that last one, man.
I'm good. Don't leave me alone.
Shit, swinging thing, man. Big Mike.
Oh, you having a swinging thing.
That was a good one.
All right. I gotta say, start off with Michael Jackson, Human Nature.
Okay.
That shit hard.
I definitely gotta swing over to Just Keep Your Faith in Me.
Oh, yeah.
Don't act impatiently. You'll get where you need to be in due time. Yeah. Gotta have that. Okay. Every morning. It's still a ring.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, you gotta have that. I gotta have Ribbon in the Sky.
Ooh, Ribbon in the Sky. Yeah,
Steve gotta have some Stevie Wonder.
That was my favorite one.
I gotta have that that George on My Mind, Ray Charles.
Okay. I was thinking Phil.
Last one.
Got one more. He said he didn't get that far.
Cherish today.
You a good one.
Great selections, man.
Mr. Green.
We want to see.
It is your chance to shine, Mr. Green.
Liberation, Outkast.
Okay.
There's a.
That shit crazy. I love it.
Fantasy, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay.
There's so fucking many, bro. True, Spandau Ballet.
Okay.
I had two Earth, Wind, Fire, too. I won't say goddamn. Y'all know this song, I Write a Song for You by Earth, Wind, Fire? Mm. I love that fucking song. I'm just throwing that out the blank kind of that little shit. I mean, I got love.
Yeah, no, he ain't count that one, so he got two more.
Okay.
Shit, man.
I was trying to be, you know what I'm saying, OG with it, but I really got some young nigga shit.
Come back. Yeah,
throw me some yin yang to it.
Yeah. I'm good, but yeah.
You gonna listen to that every day?
To the window. To the wall. What'd you say?
I think I could do that goddamn. That Jodeci, whatever you want.
Oh, I forgot Beauty. That Drew Hill.
And one more. Damn. You know
what I'm saying? I get Beauty by Drew.
Damn. What else? One more.
Damn.
You yeah, one more.
A big one. Shit.
I can't believe I got Beauty.
Yeah, Earth Song, Michael Jackson.
Oh, man. Damn, so hey, man, if you watching this, go to
that Earth Song video.
Oh, nigga don't roll out them bitches down.
Yeah, you got to. Go listen. You ain't heard
it. Yeah, on the big one like that.
And that Earth Song, man, people fucked up. When you rewind the shit and all the shit start coming back to life.
I don't like being put on the spot like that. I won't do mine, though. I thought this whole movie was on.
You think that was off you? That was tough.
But we could have put it in a different category. That would have made it easier, though.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I just, you know, that just popped in my mind. A survival kit of songs. That's crazy. Much music is out.
Because on some hood shit, I would say, goddamn, Ride With Some Players, goddamn Sammy Sam. Yeah. That one of my favorite songs of all time.
At
home. See that shit?
Oh, I miss Mystical, man.
Here I go.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I can listen to the beat all day.
That's a hit. Mm-hmm.
Shit, I ain't even put no pimp in mine, nigga. I would have to say, goddamn, UGK Murder.
Oh, man.
UGK Murder.
That's like the old part. Yeah, he's just every part of the beat.
So what the fuck is up?
Hot on the
beat. It's like a big fucking nut.
Just got back from California. You can't be legit.
That was the case I would have put Take That Shit to Trial.
Take that shit to Trump back in 1982.
Shit, space
Dave Pimpin.
Oh.
Y'all love that one.
What?
Goddamn.
I'd be obliged if you step outside. Mm. That's the first time in black history that a nigga been obliged.
Hold up.
MJG is the first black man to openly be allowed to be obliged. You know what they'll do to a nigga who was obliged? Cut your feet off, man.
I'm about to get back on my ATL shit. Bro. Nigga done forgot about them young blood. Oh,
damn.
We don't give a damn, we don't give a fuck.
Damn, a hit. I love that. That shit don't never go outside. That's a hard ass. Oh, you doing Cadillac Pimper, yeah.
The young blood?
Well, come on.
They went.
They killed that
ball. Were they part of the... Were they part of the dungeon?
You keep it the H.I. I say goddamn Kilo. Kilo.
Kilo went crazy, though.
You don't remember the pins?
See, I don't remember the pins, but I know Kilo, though. Club in my
house. Boy, ho, boy, his own. White horse. And that's no lizard.
But he's going crazy. He started a lot of shit, though, nigga. Yeah, he did.
I thought we'd keep the H.I. for a second, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he kept that shit for real. I'm like, give me a holler, you were. So I think Youngblood was putting out a slanging song.
Oh, it was.
They were. You were with everything.
That shit that happened when they get down to a slammed up and they get slammed
up. Nigga put on his shit.
Ooh.
You were.
Damn. That's a wrestling move.
It was.
It was our first, like, you know what I'm saying, sound effect. That was for everything, but I hit that nigga like you.
And then Yeet were right after that. Right.
Yeet
was
Yeet.
That's
yeah.
My school shit.
Yeah, you remember first, man. Like Atlanta, like real slang. Yeah,
that was our little brother, man. They was up in the attic. Shit, we was in the dungeon.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? Attic crew.
Attic crew.
Yeah, for
boy, so much, man. We sit here with y'all niggas
forever.
And
man, shit,
forever,
man.
Now
hip hop got some goddamn man. Got some history, bro.
Right.
This shit, man.
This should be
history,
a museum
bro.
About this shit, like for real, like on some real shit.
Might be.
Got
man,
to.
We appreciate the goddamn the love.
Bro, we gotta ask you this one more thing before you go though, because we comedians and shit, and you always be on the boondocks, funny as hell,
bro. I wanted to be a comedian. That was what I thought I could do if I tried. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Right.
I love to make people laugh.
Right.
It's one of my favorite things to do.
You can tell from the video. Like that freak video, nigga. When you niggas, we got
I mean that. I ain't think nobody was going to take you serious. I was like, man, I love tripping, man. I love that nigga. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's all man. I thought it would be. You know
yeah,
what
right.
Mean?
Freedom, man. You know what I'm saying? That's what y'all represent, man. The freedom to be who you are, man. Thank y'all, brothers.
I appreciate y'all.
You
man! Yeah, man.
New face always on the case.
You know he and him, man. Y'all always welcome to come holler at us.
Come on, man.
Appreciate
you. I ain't about the mob, always.
We know what y'all doing, y'all platform, y'all energy, y'all consistency, y'all authenticity, man. We love y'all, man. Thank y'all for having us.
I appreciate it, man.
There you have it, folks. 85 South Show.
Most definitely.
I heard what you did about that wild and out situation, man. God gonna bless you, man.
Hey, man, one thing about it, man. You know, we just gonna stay down. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Keep God first at all times.
Thank you, my brother.
You did?
Thank you, man.
You gotta stay down, man. It's the law.
You did? Come on, man. Where we from?
You know what I'm saying? Southside.
You did?
Yes, sir.
Come on, y'all.
Man, we appreciate y'all. 85 South Show. We have to do it.
Say the goddamn mic on me.
Oh, you gonna go crazy when you see the shit.
I got a 45-minute drive.
What's up?
And I gotta make sure that my dog ain't peeing inside. Cause I know they did, and I'm gonna like, hell, while you drive. Oh shit, tell
you
when I took you out the first time, you act like you ain't have to slide. So, damn, knock on home, gotta pick
up.
Goddamn, what the fuck with me, huh? I don't really give a fuck, what's up? What's up,
stretch. Okay.
Hey. Yeah, oh shit. This nigga DC got down here. This nigga got my knees burning.
New face, what you bring us, man?
Let's get in here.
Every time we try to come out and do something positive, they don't want to help. They be like, black people not going to support that bullshit. Go to the website.
85apparel.com.
Say it again.
85apparel.com.
Man, put it on the screen.
You know what I mean? And I know my accent a little heavy when I say a pearl. It's not a U in it.
A pearl.
You know how to fucking spell.
A pearl. Go get some a pearl.
Go get some a pearl.
Sick of this shit, man.
Shit.
Every day.
Man, do another
hat. Man, let me get a hat.
Yeah, man.
Let me get that hoodie.
What's up, man? Take that off.
When the 4X gonna be in?
Yeah, man.
Are you mad?
Y'all ain't got nothing for babies? No. Man, what the fuck?
When y'all gonna get some onesie?
Yeah, I know, man. Cut some of this shit out.
Man, buy the shit we got so we
can. Yeah. Save it for your baby. That nigga gonna grow up one day. He gonna want this.
I'm tired of telling them.
Me
bro.
Too,
I'm
man.
Just gonna start wearing all the shit myself. I wear it every day in the way. I like it.
Me too. It's nice. Shit, nice quality. Everything. Know. You know what I mean?
That shit is soft, man. Made out of hoodie material.
Yep. Even the pants. We got hoodie. Sweatpants made out of hoodie material. Come on, man.
Dude, and it ain't like, this ain't no knockoff shit. You can wash this.
Right. And what, it ain't like, gonna fade
it's
or nothing.
The same.
Better than that shit you used to. We making sure.
Bro, I had this hoodie for the whole 5 years.
Yeah, I know.
Look, still bright.
All the way. And niggas don't know how to wash clothes good, so it's not because we have a good washing routine.
Bruh,
it's just
we got
the shit
all
is nice.
The nigga colors. We got black, we got red, we got blue, we got some pink shit for the girls.
White.
Socks, rolling trays, lighters. Man, what else they want us to come out with?
I better add, I guess, because we got to keep doing these motherfuckers.
I'm about to call LL Cool J.
Right.
About to pay somebody else to do this shit.
I know, right? Get that nigga to roll his pants leg up one time.
I don't know what they want me to do. Everybody who come through here, get some of this dope ass shit and be like, I like that shit.
Yeah, it's nice, thick, it's cool.
Hey, man, why did that cost that much? Nigga, we don't own no factory. We had to cut a deal. We got to make some money off this shit, too.
Exactly. I don't understand why y'all
nigga,
just don't.
Even the tag in our shit is better.
It say 80, it's imprinted on it. So a motherfucker can't say, you know, like Biggie said, they go to nigga with the fake eyes. You ain't got to worry about that.
It's real. It's
our shit is real. Nay, that's what I'm saying. You got to get our shit. Because when we see y'all
they
with the shit, that ain't
like
our
we
shit.
We don't know how much the shit they be buying costs.
Right.
Our shit don't even cost
don't
that.
Don't even cost that money.
Man.
I had somebody send me a DM saying, hey, man, it's an 85 South Shows hoodie I'm marking up for y'all. What you think? I think you need to get that shit the fuck out of my page.
The bootlegger sent you the shit that they was bootlegging?
Fuck, you gonna get me to approve some bootleg shit.
Taking food out of my kid's mouth.
Right.
With my idea.
Right.
Wow.
Motherfuckers. Buy some of this shit, man. Okay? It's Christmas time. We ain't gonna see the money till April anyway. Just go ahead and get some of this shit.
I don't know what else to tell them.